What do you say to the child who asks about the grandparent who has just passed away? Or maybe someone else who's died and the child is asking, where are they? What's happened to them? And of course you want to be positive in the face of death. You might say, well, he's looking down on us, or she's in a better place now. But you're not sure. How can you be sure? And maybe secretly you rather hope that the child will stop asking questions like that, because it's a little awkward, it's a little painful. And maybe that was you as a child. Maybe you asked when a grandparent or a great-grandparent passed away. Maybe you asked your mum or dad, what's happened to them? Where have they gone? And because no one seemed sure, and it was just a bit awkward, you felt people were just a bit awkward about this sort of question, and so you stopped asking. And you never really asked since. And now that life has become busy, there just isn't the time to think about this sort of question. What happens after you die? Well, there's so much to do, you can't ask questions like that. Maybe life is too fun for you. Maybe life is too difficult for you. There's so many things you have to get done. But is life really too short to think about what happens at the end of life? Imagine you're going on a journey and you're preparing for that journey. You're busy packing, you're busy making some food, getting the gear together, making all the preparations you could imagine, and a friend calls by and they say, well, where are you going? You're hardly going to say, well, I don't know where I'm going. I'm far too busy to think about things like that. Can't you see I've got all this preparation to do, all these things to get ready? It doesn't make sense, does it? And yet we can go through life so busy with so many things, and we don't stop to think, where are we going? And so I want us this Easter morning to think a bit about what happens after death. Now, normally you wouldn't want to think about that if there was no hope. If there was no hope beyond the grave, then frankly, it's too painful a question to ask, because death is always sad. The intensity of grief that we feel when a loved one dies, the heaviness, the loss, the finality. And if there's no hope, we really don't want to think about it very much. But the Bible speaks about hope. Let me read the first verse that we read, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica, and he wants to encourage them because some of their number have died. They were Christians. They believed in Jesus. And he talks about their death as sleep. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Implication: you Christians do have hope. Yes, you're going to grieve, but you're not going to grieve in quite the same way as those who have no hope. And it's that hope that I want us to focus on today. To think about what happens beyond the grave is something we can think about, because there can be hope. 3 points I want to make. Firstly, we have hope because Jesus rose from the dead. We have hope because Jesus. Now, medical science has improved treatments and life expectancy. Of course, it's also the nutrition, it's the better sanitation and all the rest of it. But nonetheless, life expectancy is so much better now than 50, 100, 200 years ago. But you know, however many organ transplants you have, whatever gene editing you might do, even computer implants, they cannot cure death. Apparently there are some billionaires in the world who are pouring funds into researching for a cure to death. But there is only one person who has overcome death, and his name is Jesus Christ. Verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. This is where our hope lies. Not in medical research, good as that is, but in Jesus Christ who rose again. Jesus who rose from the dead has the power to raise us to life too. You see, the Bible doesn't present the resurrection of Jesus as a make-belief story. But it's written for us as history, something that really happened. It's not written as a legend or a parable. The Bible has many parables, many stories, for example, that Jesus told. And it's very clear that they're written as or stories with a meaning, not things that actually happened. But when it comes to the death and resurrection of Jesus, these are written as historical events. They're not written as a legend to make us feel better, but as something that actually happened. You see, if the whole thing was made up just to give us a nice feeling, why was it written with so many witnesses to his death? So many saw him being crucified outside of Jerusalem. Several saw him being buried in that tomb. And then there were all the witnesses to his resurrection. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in chapter 15 and he talks about the resurrection, at one point he says that Jesus was seen by about 500 people at the same time after he'd been raised from the dead. And then Paul adds, most of those people are still alive. Obviously not now, but when Paul wrote that. In other words, Paul was saying, look, you can go and talk to these witnesses. You can meet them. It's presented as historical fact. And if those early Christians simply conspired together to say that their leader Jesus had been raised from the dead to try and promote their new faith, well, why would they have women as the first witnesses? You see, in those days, it was not taken seriously. And yet, the first person who saw Jesus was who? Mary Magdalene. And actually, when she and the other women who had seen the empty tomb went and told the disciples, they just dismissed what had been said. They thought it was nonsense. People to rise from the dead. It's no more believable then than it is now for people to rise from the dead. We mustn't think that somehow we're more clever and sophisticated because we live today. And yet, it was women who were the first witnesses. And why present your main leaders as such failures? As those who dismissed the testimony of those first witnesses? As such failures like Peter, who denied Jesus three times? Or why be killed, as hundreds of Christians were, just for the sake of upholding a false story? No, the resurrection of Jesus is given to us as fact, history that really happened. And everything hangs on it. At one point, Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is a waste of time. We're deluding ourselves. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's it. If there's no resurrection, well, leave here straight away. Do what you like, it doesn't matter. But the Bible presents the resurrection of Jesus as fact. It really happened. Jesus rose from the dead, and this is what gives us hope. Yes, it takes faith to believe those witnesses. I'm not standing here and saying everyone's going to believe. You'll always have skeptics. But you know, it takes unbelief to reject this. Both are active. Faith is active. Unbelief is active. So that's our first point. We have hope because Jesus really did rise from the dead. Secondly, we have hope by believing in Jesus. You see, not everyone has this hope. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Some have no hope. The world grieves at death. At a funeral, they look back at the person's life, but there's no looking forward. Christians don't grieve like that. Oh yes, they feel the loss. But they look forward to hope. I've been to many funerals. I've taken many funerals. I've taken funerals of people who are Christians. I've taken funerals of people who are not Christians. And there's a huge difference between the two. When the person is not a Christian, all you can do is look back at their life. If they're a Christian, yes, you can look back with gratitude at their life, but you look forward. You know where they've gone. You know that you'll see them again. I wonder, which way will people look at your funeral? Will it just look back at your life? Or they also look forward? Will they look ahead to heaven, to glory? What makes the difference? Why do some have hope and other people have no hope? Is it that some have lived a better life and others haven't? Is it that some have done more good things? No. Look at verse 14. It doesn't talk anything about the good things that people have done. It's all about our faith. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We have hope because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. If you believe that he died and rose again, you also believe that he can raise you again. Verse 15 reminds us that these things are according to the Lord's word. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, and so on. These are things that Jesus had said. He said that he would be killed and rise again on the third day. He said that he was going to give his life as a ransom to set us free from sin and death. Listen to something else that Jesus said. This is John chapter 5 and verses 24 and 25. Very truly, I tell you, these are the words of Jesus, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus is promising life to those who believe. They will hear his voice and be raised. Jesus showed at Lazarus's tomb. Lazarus had died. And Jesus stood outside that tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Lazarus was raised as a demonstration of what Jesus will do on the last day. And supremely, Jesus showed his power over death in being raised himself. If he didn't rise, he'd be a liar. But he did rise, and he will be able to raise us too. But you have to believe in him. You have to believe his word. You have to believe his promises. Do you believe in him? Are you willing to believe? Amara read the account of Thomas, who wasn't there on that first Sunday evening, the day Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus appeared to his disciples, but Thomas was not with them. And of course, they kept telling him, "We've seen the Lord." And he said, "I refuse to believe unless I can put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand in the side where the spear had pierced Jesus' side." He was not willing to believe the witnesses. Graciously, a week later, Jesus appeared again. This time Thomas was there. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger in the nail print. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Put away those doubts and believe." And then Jesus added, "You have believed because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen." That's us today. He wrote that for us. None of us have seen Jesus with our eyes. None of us have put our finger in the nail prints, put our hand in his side. But we believe. And his promise is that if you believe, he will raise you too. He will raise you to eternal life. We have hope by believing in Jesus. And then thirdly, we have hope of being with Jesus forever. You see, what is the Christian hope? What actually are we hoping for? What happens beyond the grave? What does it mean to be raised to life? You see, we're never to think of eternal life as being like getting very, very, very old. And certainly not getting very old here in this world. That would just be an eternity of frailty, of boredom, of loneliness, of friends and families long gone. It's not old age in a fallen world that we're looking forward to. No, we're looking for new life in a new world. Let me read verses 16 and 17. And these verses describe at the end of the age, the end of the world, when Jesus Christ returns. Listen to what happens. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Christians who are still alive at the time when Jesus Christ returns will join those who've been raised from the graves. When I buried my father, and his tomb, his coffin was laid into the grave, I thought, the next time he moves will be when he hears the voice of Jesus. He will come with a loud command. Outside Lazarus' tomb, he just said, "Lazarus, come out." But with this loud command, he will call all of his children. They will hear his voice. I don't know how it'll happen. But he who could create the universe can surely make new those dead bodies, renew them, even to be like his resurrection body. Our bodies will be renewed just like Jesus's. 1 Corinthians 15 describes that. This is the hope that we have. It's not to some boring, frail existence in a decaying world. No. This is new life, a new body, eternal life. Revelation chapters 21 and 22, the last two chapters in the Bible, describe something of the glory and the beauty and the vibrancy of this eternal life. Read it when you get home. It's the most wonderful description. And central to that description, and central to what we have here, is this one thing. We will be with the Lord. The end of verse 17. We'll meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. That's the Christian hope. That's the glory that awaits us. We will be with him. The picture is in the Bible of the bride coming to the bridegroom. Jesus, like the bridegroom, comes from heaven to take the bride to be with him. That sense of love, of relationship, that sense of this is where we're meant to be. If you're married, maybe you can remember that. That wedding, a sense of this is where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be together. How much greater will that sense be when Jesus returns? This is the hope that we have as Christians. So let me ask you, where are you going? Maybe you were that child asking about that grandparent or elderly relative who died. Where are they, Mum? Where have they gone, Dad? What about you? Where are you going? What will happen at your funeral? Will people just look back at your life? Or will they also be able to speak of the hope of seeing you again, that you are now with the Lord? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He died. He rose again. He alone has power over death. Put your faith in him and you will hear his voice on that last day, and he will raise you up and you will be with him forever. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Let's pray.